Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. As you're turning there, two quick trivia questions this morning. Harley, you ready? Where was Solomon's temple located? On the side of his head. His temple, Harley. His temple, yeah. What kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? He was ruthless. He was a ruthless man, Charlie. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to start out with a question. Where does God dwell? Where does God live? We call this building, this church, the Lord's house. Is this his home? Is this where God lives? When we open up God's Word and you begin to study God's Word, you're going to discover that God has been living in a series of houses, a series of homes, a series of dwellings. He moves in, he moves out. He moves in, and he moves out. Another truth we're going to discover this morning, and maybe you already know it, is that God will not live in a dirty house. Amen? A college fraternity decided to steal their rival's mascot before the big football game. Their mascot? A goat. Someone asked, "Where are you going to keep it?" The gentleman said, "In our frat house." The man said, "What about the smell?" The frat member replied, "Ah, the goat will get used to it. We did." 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Skip down to verse 19, if you would. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So where does God live today? In our hearts. God's dwelling place today is in us. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, today we live in the age of grace. For us today, God has a people for his temple. Amen? God abides or God lives inside of every born-again believer. Our heart is God's royal residence. Amen? It's quite a privilege to think about that. Our heart is God's royal residence. And this morning I want to consider where he resides. Past and present. What were his past residences? Where is he residing today? And how does it all come together? And the first thing we want to look at was God's primary house. What was God's primary house? Actually, the question should be, who was God's primary house? It was Adam. God's primary house was in Adam. Genesis chapter 2, flipping all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So we see here that God created Adam. He created man, a triune being. He created him with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Right here in this verse, we see all three. God created man from the dust of the earth. He created his physical body from the dust of the earth. He breathed into man his spirit, and then man became a living soul. Body, spirit, and soul. A triune being in the image of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely," our triune parts, "and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have a physical body. We're all familiar with that. That's the part of us that we can see. Amen? The physical body. But the Bible also says that we have a soul. And that comes from the Greek word psuche. It's the same word that we get the word psyche, psychology, psychiatry. All those root words come from the same word. Now, our soul speaks of our mind, our emotions, and our will. Our mind, our motion, and our will. That's our soul. The Bible also says that we have a spirit. Now, our spirit is different from our soul. It's the part of our being that allows us to commune with God. It's different from us. It's the part of us that allows us to know God personally, to know God intimately. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. God does not have physical attributes. Now, we read in the Bible sometimes where it talks about, you know, God spread out His hand across the galaxies and He formed the universe. That's just spiritual speak so that we can understand it. Because our minds are finite. And it's hard for finite minds to understand an infinite God. So a lot of times God will use physical parts so that we can understand His actions. But God is spirit. He has no physical parts. He cannot be contained. And God as spirit requires us to worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. Our spirit is what communes with God. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Holy Spirit Himself, God's Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen? That's how we commune with God. Our spirit with His spirit. Amen? That's what makes us different from all other parts of God's creation. It makes us different from plants. Now, we say plants live, but in the Bible, God never uses that terminology for plants. Plants wither away. They don't die. God uses the term wither. Animals. Separates us from animals as well. Amen? We think, you know, yesterday in our Bible study, we even touched on the fact that angels are not even triune beings like we. We are the only creation that was created in God's image. Angels have a soul and a spirit, but they do not have a physical body. Amen? We were the only ones created in God's image. So God made man for Him to live inside of. Adam was God's primary residence for Him to live inside, His spirit and Adam's spirit. And Adam was a house, so to speak, with three rooms, a triune being. Three, we understand, is an important number. All numbers in Scripture are important. They have spiritual significance. We know the number seven represents perfectness or completeness. Well, the number three represents God. It's a godly number. It represents the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we see that Adam was created in the image of God, a house with three rooms. Amen? God's creation also bears His triune nature. You know, we think about space. How do we measure space? Well, we measure it with height, width, and depth. Different, but the same. Height is part of space, right? It's all different, but yet the same. We think about time. God created space. He also created time. How do we measure time? We look at the past, the present, and then what? The future. God created all those things after His triune nature. And when God made Adam, He made him a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. Adam was to be God's royal residence for God to abide within His spirit. You know, in the book of Genesis, we also read that that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. We need to understand that that wasn't a physical walk. You know, like if you took your spouse out and you walked around the Cohansic Zoo. That's not the walk that God was speaking of in the book of Genesis. That walk was a spiritual walk. He was talking about in the spiritual realm. God was within Adam's spirit. He had a close, intimate fellowship with Adam every single day. That's what God was talking about, that he walked with Adam. Because Adam was God's primary residence. And as I stated earlier, God lived in a series of houses, series of dwelling places. And as we go through this study this morning, I want to look at the pattern. God sets up a pattern in each of these houses that he has dwelled in. And I want us to see what caused him to move out of each house. It's known as the four D's. I call it the four D's. It starts with design. We've been looking at Adam's design. And then it leads to desecration. After desecration is desolation. After desolation comes destruction. Take Adam for example, God's primary residence. We looked at his design. God designed Adam as a house with three rooms, triune nature. Adam became desecrated. Desecration means to blatantly disrespect something sacred. Adam desecrated God's royal residence when he sinned against God. God made it very clear. He put Adam in the Garden of Eden, gave Adam dominion over all of his creation, and just told Adam he could eat of every fruit-bearing tree there was. It doesn't matter. Take your pick, except for one. And Adam sinned. He disobeyed God. He ate of the one fruit that God said not to. And he desecrated his house. Desecrated and dirtied God's primary residence. Adam's spirit now became defiled and dirty. Then we think about desolation. After desecration comes desolation. Simply put, God moves out. Plain and simple. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. After Adam sinned, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" That simple phrase tells us that God was no longer communing in Adam's spirit, because every other day before that, God had walked with Adam in the cool of the day. His spirit was communing with God's spirit, but now God calls out and says, "Adam, where are you?" Their spirits were no longer able to commune because Adam had desecrated his house, God's primary residence. When Adam's house became desecrated, when Adam sinned, God moved out. This left Adam without God in his spirit. The Bible says over and over, God is life. Amen? Therefore, Adam's spirit is now dead. It is minus God. That left him spiritually dead. His body and his soul are alive, but his spirit is dead. Adam now has a desolate house. He went from God-centered to self-centered. Adam is minus God in his spirit. Instead of the God-dwelt spirit that he had dominance in his life when God created him, his God-dwelt spirit had dominance in his decisions, now his soul begins to have dominance. Remember, our soul is made up of our mind, our emotions, right? How many bad decisions have we made from our emotions, right? How many things have we said out of emotion that we wish we could take back? So our soul, Adam's soul began to dominate his mind, his emotion, and his will instead of God's will. So Adam was designed a house of three rooms. He desecrated that house with sin, and then it became desolated as God moved out, And after desolation leads to destruction. Genesis 3:19. God said, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." How did Adam die? We have to think about that. God warned Adam if they eat of that forbidden fruit. He warned Adam and his wife Eve that they shall what? Surely die. God made it very clear. Now we know that from reading the Bible that they did not die physically right on the spot, did they? In fact, we read that Adam lived to be over 900 years old. So we know that he didn't die right on the spot. So what did God mean by "you shall surely die"? Well, Adam died immediately in his spirit. Amen? Once he desecrated God's primary residence, he died immediately in his spirit. Because what? God moved out. He also died progressively in his soul over time. He died in his soul. And ultimately, he died physically. Amen? He died physically. He was immediately spiritually dead. He was now lost and undone. He was now incomplete. He was unwhole. You don't have to be a murderer. You don't have to be a thief in order to be undone without Christ. Amen? Lost simply means minus God in your spirit. How many sins does it take to be minus God in your spirit? One. Amen? Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. It just takes one sin to be minus God. It's one sin that desecrates our body, our soul, our spirit. Why? Because God is holy. He's completely without sin. God will not live in a dirty house. Adam now was ungodly and no longer a royal residence. So God moved out, leaving Adam spiritually dead. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The heart is pumping. The mind is working. But you are spiritually dead. The Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins against God. Amen? We're spiritually dead. He also died progressively in his soul. His mind is no longer God-centered. Not centered on God anymore. It becomes centered in himself and becomes centered in the things of the world. Amen? His will now wants to follow the flesh instead of God, and his emotions go off the charts with fear and anxiety and all these other things, sorrow, all these other emotions that we experience apart from God. And lastly, he died ultimately in his body. The seed of death was sown in his body the very moment he sinned. And the same is true for all of us. We can fix up our house on the outside all we want, right? Put on the best clothes. Kind of ties in with the reading this morning. We can do all those things to fix up the house on the outside, but because of sin, we are separated from God and we are spiritually dead on the inside. So in Adam, God's primary residence, we saw its design, we saw its desecration, its desolation, and ultimately its destruction. Where did God move after that? He had his primary residence, he moved out. Next, he moved into his pattern house. Went from his primary house to his pattern house, and that was the temple. In the Old Testament, God built a temple or a tabernacle for his people. Adam was designed with how many rooms? Guess how many rooms the temple had? Three. Had an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Outer, inner, and Holy of Holies. The outer court was the place of sacrifice. The inner court was a place of fellowship. The Holy of Holies was a place where God's presence was. We need to understand that the temple or the tabernacle was a pattern. It was an object lesson. Ultimately, everything that we read in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is ultimately pointing to who? Jesus Christ. You're going to see as we bring this message to a close, we're not going to be able to finish this week, but next week, we're going to see how it all comes together in Christ. And the same is true with the temple. It was an object lesson. The temple actually corresponded with God's primary house in Adam. The outer court, the place of sacrifice, that's where you would find the brazen altar. And this area represents our body. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. The outer court was the place of sacrifice. And our bodies, we are to present before God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Amen? The inner court, that was the place of worship, very similar to where we are today. Very similar to our church. That was where they congregated. That was where they came together to listen to the teaching of the law. And we fellowship one another soul to soul. Represents our soul, the inner court. Then we have the Holy of Holies. That was the place of God's presence. That represented what? Our spirit. This is where God was to abide. This was God's design for the temple, his pattern house. It was an object lesson. It was a representation of God's first house, his primary residence in Adam. So then we consider the three D's. We saw its design. Think about its desecration. Matthew chapter 21. Verses 12 and 13. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." They had turned the temple into a marketplace. They were buying and selling and trading, and they turned it into like a fair setting. You know, a county fair right in the temple. They were selling doves. He said he turned over the money changers and those who were selling doves. In the Bible, you'll read that doves were used by poor people who couldn't afford to buy a lamb for their sacrifice. That once a year they had to have a sacrifice for the atonement of their sins. Mary and Joseph. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that they were poor. That they came to the temple with what? A dove. Doves were used by poor people because they couldn't afford a bigger animal. But these money changers, they were selling doves to the poor at astronomical prices. They were taking advantage of the poor. And Jesus came in and he saw how they desecrated his house. It quickly goes from desecration to desolation. God will not live in a dirty house. Go to Matthew 23. Skip down to verse 38. Jesus flat out said, "See, your house is left to you desolate." You're going to see some language changes from what we read in chapter 21. He said, "My house." Over and over, he called the temple my Father's house. No longer is it his house or his Father's house. What did he say here? He said, "Now it's your house, because it's left desolate." It's your house because why? God has moved out. He's left the building. They still came every Sabbath. They opened up the law, but it was desolate. God had long departed. They could have written Ichabod above the door because God had moved out. After desolation comes what? Destruction. Matthew chapter 24. Reading verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus went out, and he departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Jesus was prophesying of the destruction of the temple in AD 30. And it happened exactly as God said it here. There wasn't one stone that was left unturned. The temple was full of gold chalices and gold that was inside the temple that they used for worship. When the Romans came in and they besieged Jerusalem, they set the temple on fire. What happened to that gold? It melted. It melted and it began running into the blocks, the stone blocks of the temple. And after the fire was out, they would go and they chiseled up every single stone to get to that melted gold. Not one stone was left unturned, exactly as Jesus said it would happen. It was designed. It was desecrated. God moved out, leaving it desolated. And then destruction surely came. God moved out. He moved in. He moved out. And this temple has never been rebuilt. God will not live in a dirty house.